Thank you, Brother Mike. Appreciate that. I guess you're hearing me okay, right? Okay? All right. Appreciate all those who showed up this morning for our class period when we talked about the church and its works, and we have a few things on these stick-up pads on the wall, a little bigger than the ones I normally use in my office. But you feel free to look at that, and we'll have some more information about that later. I'm also very pleased that Brother Teddy's voice has finally changed. And, of course, Brother Don, you know, he can lead tenor or bass or whatever when he's leading singing. Appreciate that. There are few things as powerful as words. The things we say have dramatic impact on the people around us. And so it's very important for us to be careful about how we speak and what we say and that sort of thing. Jesus even suggested that we'll be judged according to the things which we have spoken. When you read Proverbs 18, verse 21, Solomon says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's powerful. Brother James, in his little five-chapter book in the New Testament, talks about the tongue as being exceedingly powerful. He compares it to a raging fire. He says concerning the tongue that with it we will bless the Lord our God, and with it we will also curse our fellow man. And then, of course, he says these things ought not to be so. So the tongue is very, very powerful. Wars are not generally started by guns, but by words, rhetoric. And so with that thought in mind, if our words are that important, just think how powerful the Word of God is. I mean, the Word of our Creator. How powerful is His Word? Well, when you think about it, you go back to the book of Genesis, and there around verse 3 of the very first chapter in the Bible, you have the words of God. Let there be light. And there was light. Imagine speaking into existence that which formerly had not existed. Out of nothing came something, the material universe, at the word of God. Now the psalmist in Psalm 33 takes up this point, and he says in verse 6, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, by the breath of his mouth all their hosts. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Think of the power of God. Limitless. He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, it stood fast. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe what the Bible says about the God who created us? In the book of Exodus, in connection with the giving of the Ten Commandments, the Scripture says in Exodus 20, verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. The power of God in creation. In 6 days. It doesn't say in 6 geological ages. Although if you're starting from nothing, you couldn't do it in 6 geological ages. Except by the almighty power of God. Think of his power, not only in creation, but his power in sustaining the universe. In the first chapter of Colossians, Jesus is extolled as the preeminent one. And Paul speaks of him and says, in him all things hold together. Verse 17. All things hold together in Christ. Now that's true of the church. All things hold together because of Jesus. It's true of God's redemptive plan. All things are summed up in Christ. But it's also true in regard to the physical creation that everything holds together by the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now Peter, of course, said it a little differently In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "By his word the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment." Everything is being preserved right now. Hebrews 1 and verse 3 says that Jesus upholds all things. How? By the word of his power. There's something about the power of God's word. Well, if you know that Jesus is the word of God in human form, John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing has come into being that has come into being." Jesus, the Word of God, the second person of the Godhead, is the one through whom God created the universe. Now this Word, Jesus, is the one who will judge the world in the last day. This is what Paul said when he was standing on Mars Hill in the city of Athens. He speaks of that time when all are going to be judged through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by having raised him from the dead. We'll be raised and we'll be judged by Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus himself said that the one who does not receive him, the one who does not accept his teachings, has one who will judge him. He said, "The word which I have spoken will judge him on the last day." John 12, verse 48. So the power of God's word in creation, the power of God's word in sustaining the universe, the power of God is centered in on the word as it relates to the end of time and the culmination of the ages. And then the power of God's word is also seen in that it changes the course of human history one soul at a time. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." What is the gospel? What is the word of God? It's the truth, according to 1 Corinthians 15. He says, "I'm not ashamed of that message, the good news." For he said, "It is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." If you want to know where the power to change human lives exists, where that power resides, it is in the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. The Hebrew writer speaks of this message and speaks of the word of God, and he says, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as a division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." There's one kind of power that you see in creation. There's another kind of power you see in sustaining the universe. There's another kind of power you see in being the center and the standard of judgment for all men for all time. And there's another kind of power that you see that is able to penetrate all of the walls that we build up, penetrate into the human heart, able to judge even the thoughts, even the motives that exist within us. The Word of God is powerful. It's unfortunate that some are trying so hard to get away with destroying God's Word. If we can just get God's Word out of all of our public places and make sure nobody ever posts the Ten Commandments anywhere, then everything will be just fine according to what they are saying. What they fail to realize is that heaven and earth will be destroyed, but my word will never pass away. Matthew 24, verse 35. But think about that for a moment. As aggravated or irritated as we might get about what some people are doing in trying to eradicate our society from any vestige of religiosity of any kind, as aggravated as we are about that, and I kind of think that it's good to have people reminded about the Ten Commandments, and I kind of think it's good to be reminded about the New Testament as well. I kind of like to see somebody put up a copy of the Beatitudes somewhere. But, you know, as good as that is, and as aggravated as we might get if people try to circumvent that and destroy that, we got to remember that the first thing we got to do is put it into our own heart. We got to use some of that energy to get his word into our hearts so that we can be powerful in our lives. And then to instill that word into the hearts of our children as well. And you know what that means? We need to take every advantage of every opportunity we have to study the Bible. Whether it's on our own, whether it's with a group of people, whether it's coming to Sunday morning Bible class, you know, whether it's coming to Wednesday night Bible class or Sunday evening worship or worship on Sunday, we need to take advantage of every opportunity that's available. Now, I know that some people, because of their physical circumstance, cannot always do that. Some people have a hard time getting out in the evening, but that's not most of us. Most of us have that opportunity. If we recognize the power of God's Word as it relates to creation and sustaining the universe, and that we're going to be judged according to that, and the power of God's Word to save souls one at a time, we will want to take advantage of every opportunity. You got a calendar on your cell phone. If you have your cell phone out, turn it off. But anyway, you got your cell phone out here. And on that calendar on mine, when I use it, I'm not very good at it, but it's a calendar where you set an appointment, and it kind of colors in a little slot there for you. I think, well, how cute is that? You know, I have all these little colored in marks that mean I'm supposed to be here at this time, and I'm supposed to stay this long. And then you look through your week, and you say, man, there's all those things in there. But I wonder, as Christians, normally speaking, with a few exceptions, if we had our calendar out, don't you think that Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night ought to already be colored in? That would not be a question about that. You know, not to be a thing where, you know, I'm leaving Sunday night open just in case something comes up. Or I'm leaving Wednesday night open just in case I get a better offer doing something else. No. The power of God's Word is so strong that we need to take advantage of it. Not only God's Word is powerful, but a second point, God's Word is productive. Powerful and productive. Can you remember that? 2 points. God's Word is powerful and it's productive. When you think about productive, you think about the spiritual life that is produced by God's Word. God's Word is a seed, as Luke 8:11 says, and a seed, when it's planted, produces life. And so 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 says, you've been born again not of seed which is perishable, that is rot and decay, but you're born again of seed which is imperishable, that is through the living and abiding Word of God. God's Word never perishes. It never corrupts. It never decays. It's always viable. It has life within it. James said we're brought forth by the Word of truth, James chapter 1, verse 18. So God's Word produces spiritual life. And so we need to sow the seed of God's Word and cultivate it and water it, and then it will produce spiritual life as it's planted in good and honest hearts. But you know, some of that planting is not just out there for other people. We need to go sow the seed in the world around us, to our friends and neighbors. But you know, a lot of that seed needs to be planted into our own hearts as well. So God's Word is productive in giving spiritual life. It's also productive, secondly, in sustaining spiritual life. There's a lot you can get from reading through the book of Psalms. David, a man after God's own heart, wrote many of them, and he had an unusual and a high appreciation for the Word of God. And as he's writing about it, he prays, sustain me according to your word that I may live. Psalm 119 and verse 116. There's something about God's Word that keeps us alive. Well, could it be that His Word is the bread of life? Could it be that when we're praying for our daily bread, we also ought to pray for that bread of the soul? Man shall not live on bread alone, Jesus said, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So this Word sustains us. David also prayed in Psalm 119, verse 11, and said, your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. How do you overcome sin? Take God's word and treasure it in your heart. Put it where it needs to be and think of it in the positive sense, and it will help you overcome sin. Now, Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders. They had met down by Miletus, and Paul was on his way to Jerusalem, and they came down, and Paul gave them some warnings. But as he departed, he said this. He said, now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. And concerning that word, he said, it is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. God's word will do that. It'll build you up. God's word will build you up. You're feeling discouraged. I'm just too discouraged to read the Bible. I'm too discouraged to go to Bible class. I'm too discouraged to listen to a sermon or a Bible class lesson here or there. Well, isn't that where you need to go? Isn't that what you need to do? Because it will build you up. It will encourage you in the faith. Paul wrote Timothy, the young evangelist, and said to him, all scripture is inspired of God. God breathed. And he said of this scripture, it's profitable. See, God's power is productive. Here it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So God's word is productive in bringing about spiritual life initially, but also in sustaining spiritual life. But I want you to notice this third point now. God's word is productive in the sense that it can transform your life. It can change you from the inside out. How many of us would like to live differently, think differently, do differently? How many of us like to change in some aspect of our life to be more in conformity with the Word of God? Most of us would raise our hand, if not actually raise it, at least inwardly we're saying, yes, that's really true. There are changes that I need to make. And how many of us get frustrated because we keep failing when we're trying to make those changes? And how many times do people just give up and become comfortable in their misery because they're used to it, instead of risking the changes that are required to be more like Jesus? Well, we need to trust in God, and we need to trust in His Word. Because without changing, we cannot grow. And without growth, there is no life within us. But in Christ, all things are made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now the old song says, just as I am. Just take me just as I am. And you can come to Christ just as you are. But the fact of the matter is, as a Christian, you cannot be content to stay just the way you are. You need to change. And part of that change is being conformed to the image of Christ. Romans 8:29. 2 Corinthians 3:18 talks about transformation from one degree of glory to the next. And it does so by describing it as beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. You ever hear of anything in Scripture that is compared to a mirror? Look at James 1. About those who hear and do the word of God, and those who look at themselves in a mirror and then do nothing about it. Well, when we look at God's word, it reflects our image in comparison to what God wants for us. And as we behold in the mirror the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture says we're transformed into that image a little bit at a time. Now, it would be nice, wouldn't it? They would say, well, you know, today I'm going to be transformed into the image of Christ. And you sit down and you study a little bit and you go away and you're just exactly like Jesus for the rest of your life. Wouldn't that be great? That'd be the shortcut, wouldn't it? That'd be great. But I'll tell you what, sin is there and Satan is there. And though we may have the best of intentions, you know, we fall short. And so every day we need to get back into that word and get the word back into us so that we can study and grow and live and be sustained in the life that is ours in Christ. Now, before I close, I want to mention some things that God's word will not do. We talked about God's word being powerful and productive in all of these ways, but here's something God's word will not do. Mark them down. God's word will not ever change. Period. I don't care how many people get together and talk about it and think about it and decide about it. God's word is going to remain the same. You know why? Because Jesus is the same. The same today, yesterday, and yes, forever. If he doesn't change and he's the word, then the word's not going to change either. What was wrong 20 years ago is wrong today. And what is right today was right back then and will be right 20 years from now or 200 years from now if the Lord delays his return. So God's word will not change. Secondly, God's word will not force you or anyone else to do what they don't want to do. God's word does not force you. God's word might persuade you. God's word might convict you. But God's word is not going to sweep along and just force you to do what you don't want to do. Right? But God's word is there as a resource of strength should you obey it. And God's word, thirdly, will not do its work if it remains unopened, unread, untaught, and unapplied to our lives. We knew a guy once, he was kind of a character, young man, and he had gone off for the summer on some kind of a deal, you know, and our son Jason talked to him about, well, did you go to church? He said, well, no, we didn't go to church, but I had my pocket Bible in my pocket. You remember who I'm talking about, Colleen. And so we joked about that from then on. You know, we kind of said, well, I'm not going to do that, but I do have my Bible with me. You know, God's word will not do its work unless we open it and apply it to our own hearts. Sometimes God speaks to us in words that are very powerful. Sometimes, like if you read in the Old Testament about the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, that sounded powerful to me. Words written on these tablets of stone, and I saw the movie, but it's probably not the same thing. But you know, these fire coming and blasting against that rock, and there's the words, which of course in a language I could never understand. But you had those powerful words, the powerful words that were forceful and strong, as in creation, let there be light. And then sometimes you had the soft whispering words as God revealed himself. But today, according to Hebrews 1 and verse 2, God speaks to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And his Son says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The powerful word of God expressed through Christ. The invitation is open. If you're ready to receive it, if we can help you in coming to Christ through faith, repentance, and baptism, or to come back to him in repentance and prayer, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing together.